It's another pre-game Panthers podcast. I think I've got that in the wrong order, but they're all the P's and who's really counting. As ever, I'm joined by Jono Bullard and former Panthers netminder Dan Green. Good evening, guys.
Evening, everybody.
Evening, Chris.
Your gaze is diverted. Spurs on the telly again? No, they can't be. It's World Cup break.
Yeah, they won on Saturday, though, so I was happy.
Yeah. You said that. You said you'd take the league points, and that's what you
oh,
get.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the league. So,
unless
yeah.
You're a Forest fan, you get a cup and league points in the same week. Did we mention that to you? No, I don't think we did we? Cup points? Cup win, should I say?
Well, cup win.
Cup win. League points, yeah. Yeah. Concentrate on the league, Greener. That's right. And talking of the league, we're going to look ahead in a moment to... huge game with the league leaders in town. And who thought would be said, no disrespect to the Flames. Don't think many said that would be saying Guildford Flames, the league leaders, but they truly deserve to be there. They've had a great start to the season. But what about, we'll start with you, Greener. What about Saturday? What a breathtaking game.
Yeah, it really was. You know, it all started with the atmosphere, you know, with it being Remembrance Day and, you know, great kind of videos and tributes and everything at the start. And with it being a Saturday as well, which, you know, we haven't had loads of, really good crowd, noisy. And obviously the Panthers gave them something to be noisy about. That first period was electric and got everybody out their seats, and it just kind of continued from there.
He's right there, isn't he, Jono, about it being electric. I think that's probably the best atmosphere of the season.
Oh, without a doubt. And I went for a drink after we finished up at the arena and just spoke to a few of my friends who've been at the...
Common theme, Jono going for a drink after a game.
it was a usual thing before I worked for the Panthers, so I'll carry on the tradition. But I met up with a few of my friends and they all said they thought it was the best atmosphere they'd experienced in the arena for a while, certainly this season, and they loved it. They said it was noisy, it was a great game, and watching back on the highlights as well, you forget how much actually happened in that game. Not only the goals, but the great saves from Jack Berry and Jackson Whistle, and the controversy with the goal that wasn't a goal that went to a review. Yeah, it was just a fabulous night of hockey.
Yeah, and you know what? While we're on that, and he's obviously sometimes on this podcast post-game, but all credit to Ken, who's just on fire this season, working the crowd, getting the energy going. Yeah. And also, you know, credit to you know, give some people the unsung heroes, Dave Burnham and Liam from Vision Mix, you know, because we've not really touched on the intro much, but, you know, you just felt that the new intro, we said it would be tweaked, and that's what Dave and his team has done. And now to me, and going for you, Jono, someone who knows the Panthers history really well, you know, I think you get that lovely history montage, then the tempo changes with the music, and then goes into the intro video. To me, that sets the setting the tone for the night, and that the crowd responds.
Oh, yeah, without any shadow of a doubt. And you've noticed how noisy it got after that intro video had gone out on Saturday. Another thing as well that's great what they're doing this season is obviously we've got a few different camera angles on the webcast, and those angles are being shown on the big screen for the crowd to see. And it was interesting, I think I mentioned it to Dan in commentary, is when Jack Berry's save came back up on the screen with the close in angle showing it. It's like the whole crowd applauded as it went out. And I think it's great that we can show the crowd in attendance them sort of things as well on the big screen. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, great work to Dave and the Vision Mix team and Liam there. Really great work and really getting the crowd involved and bringing the game really, like you said, closer to the fans in the building. Greener, I mean, Belfast, you know, they were short of a few bodies. I think it shows how good they are that they gave it a good go, even though they were short of bodies.
Yeah, I think obviously playing, you know, the night before in Manchester as well, where I think they maybe lost a guy there, and then really, you know, tough battle in Manchester, and then coming here the next night, losing another guy in the first period. And yeah, I mean, you could tell they were a bit deflated, and we kind of ran riot a little bit, really, for the first two periods. But like you said, you could see their quality. They never say that, you know, any team coached by Adam Keefe's never going to just sit back and lay down. And they just threw everything at us in the third. And I think I said to Jono, if they'd have had another 2 or 3 minutes, I think they probably would have found an equaliser, because they were, I almost couldn't believe that they didn't put the puck in the net in the last 2 minutes. But yeah, I think that's the kind of team they are. And obviously, you know, it's a loss and it's a big win for us. But I'm sure in the grand picture of it, they still get a 2-point weekend. They'll get some bodies back and they'll go again. But I think, you know, both teams can take a lot of positives from the game.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably a Kelly Summers goal line clearance away from overtime. I mean, that was a huge moment from Kelly Summers as that puck just squirt. Well, I can't remember how it got past Berry, but there was Summers just in the crease to whip it away. There was some great, I mean, some good goals by Belfast, but there were some great goals by the Panthers, Jono. I mean, the feeds for the first two. It was Walechka to Brady, was it, for the first?
Yeah, for the first.
And then who was it to Levin for the second? Come on, that's testing us now.
Broussard, maybe.
I don't think it was.
Well, might have been Summers.
I mean, that first one, I think you mentioned, didn't you, in the post-game podcast to whoever it was. I just remember you saying it was on your tape. Was it to Brady?
It was Brett Walechka I interviewed first on the post-game podcast because he'd obviously done the pass. It was his pass to Brady.
It's his pass to Brady, wasn't it? Yeah.
For the first goal.
So we need to get there for the second. But my point is, Jono, there was some great goals. And I mean, none more so for me than the moment for Luke Ferreira. We'll go back and forth. Let's go to Luke Ferreira first. Let's take it that way, Jono. The look on it, I mean, look on his face. Even me, I sat at the other end of the rink in the boxes, you could tell what it meant to him.
Oh, you just saw the relief on his face as soon as he put it in and turned. And just the smile, the relief and the smile just said everything. And then when I spoke to him afterwards, he seemed quite emotional, but obviously he'd had a brand new baby niece born the day before. He dedicated the goal to her, which I thought was lovely. And yeah, it was clearly a big monkey off his back. And that was his third point in three games, actually, because he got an assist in the previous games. And then getting his first goal and then got another assist the following night. So he's on a four-game point streak at the minute, Luke Ferreira. So he's in great, great form. And he's deserved that goal so much. He's been so close. And in his interview, he said he's hit the post about 15 times. And he's not far off. He's not exaggerating there. He's hit the pipe work. He's been close. He's been just wide. He's caused great saves to finally get one in. No player deserves it more than what Luke Ferreira did.
What sort of thing can that greener do? What sort of thing can that do for confidence?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you know, he now knows, you know, obviously it's only the one goal, but just getting that goal, he'll just relax. You don't grip the stick as tightly. That pressure is just completely lifted now. And he can just move on. Like Jono said, you know, he's picking up points and assists as well. So, you know, he's maybe not going to go on a goal-scoring tear straight away, but, you know, I think the floodgates will open a bit now. You know, he's got that one. He'll be feeling better. And you know, he's always on the power play. He's always going to be getting chances. And I think, you know, he starts to stick one or two away and we'll just see the normal Luke Ferreira over the years where, you know, he's scoring sort of a goal every other game. And, you know, hopefully he can get there soon.
So I've just looked back. It was Walechka to Summers on that power play. And then, of course, the other one was that clever play from Matthew Myers to Walechka for the fifth goal. So, you know, the forward lines, Jono, there was four strong lines that rolled really well together, I felt, on Saturday.
Yeah, and that was something that Brett Walechka said in the podcast afterwards, is that he really felt that his line with Matthew Myers and David Levin was really clicking. They're getting a lot of points. David Levin's really picking up some goals at the minute and quality goals as well. Yeah, I think he's been a great pickup for the Panthers. I really do. Matthew Myers, he's just so pivotal on that line. He's grabbing assists. He's grabbing goals. And then you've got Brett Walechka, who is just such a classy player. Great distributor of the puck, and that line especially is playing really, really well.
Love to talk netminders with you, Greeno, and we talked about what a chance it was for Berry, you know, to know that he's got some big games ahead of him. You look at Saturday, and it was a big occasion for him, and, you know, you may look on the face of it, 5-4, that you let him four at home, but it was nothing like that. He made some big, big saves on the night, as Jono alluded to earlier.
Yeah, and I think obviously with the Panthers getting, you know, a decent lead early on, and then obviously they kind of sat back a bit, and you know, obviously the Giants came on really strongly. It was really down to him in the third, and he made that huge save in the second period. And I think at the time it was 4-1 maybe, or 3-1, so it would have been a lot closer had that gone in. You know, it could have definitely gone the other way, but he keeps that one out. And then I remember when the Giants scored, they scored too quickly in the third to make it 5-4. And then about a minute after that, probably not even a minute, he made a breakaway save, and that would have been 5-5 with the Giants full steam ahead. But, you know, he makes that save and then he never looks back after that. So, yeah, it's not always about how many goals you let in or how many saves. It's making the big saves at the big times. It doesn't really matter. You know, we beat Belfast at home and he made some huge saves, and I'm sure that'll give him a lot of confidence moving on.
Jono, you'll remember this save. I mean, it perhaps just wasn't quite on the par of this one, although it was a damn good save. But someone on Twitter likened it to Curtis Cruikshank in Amiens. Remember that one?
Ooh, that was some save. Now, you thought, I was right behind the goal for that one in Amiens as well when he made that. We just thought, has he stretched and just hoped and the puck hit his stick? Then there was a great photo of it, a still photo, and you can see with his Curtis Cruikshank stick outstretched, and he's looking directly at the puck on his stick. He meant it. Phenomenal save, probably the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think you're right, and obviously in the context of what it was, you know, a Continental Cup journey for the Panthers, and that was some trip that was. But no, I understand what the poster meant, because, you know, basically that goal was gaping and Cruikshank had to leap all that way. And likewise with Berry, what did Berry save it with? What part of it?
It was his stick.
It was his stick that he got to.
Yeah. And the thing is, there was such a quality of saves in the Elite League this week. It was only third in the saves
is
of the week.
Right?
Yeah. Because Jackson Whistles, like, literally a minute later was second.
No,
and then
the other way around. What was? I've missed that.
Shane Owen won it for a save on Friday night.
Yeah, great save.
And you know what? I thought, how has Jack Barry's save been beaten? How has that Jackson Whistle save been beaten? And then I watched it and thought, oh, yeah, that's fair enough. It was a phenomenal save. Absolutely phenomenal. Very similar to Jack Berry's, except that Shane Owen gloves it. He doesn't save it with his stick. It's incredible.
So I touched on earlier saying the surprise league lead is Guildford Flames, because I think no one would have put Guildford to win the league. But Jono, they are rightfully there. They're a dangerous side. They keep picking up points. I mean, how good are they, and how deep can they go in terms of in this position?
Well, you need to put what they've done into context. They play 16 games. They've lost three, one of them in overtime. So they're at the very start of the season, they lost their first two games. Overtime to us at home, the last time we played them. And then the next night, they lost at home to Sheffield. They have had one other defeat against Sheffield since then. So they totally deserve to be where they are. They're playing brilliantly. They've got an excellent team, and they are rightfully at the top of the league. They totally deserve to be there.
And also, you know, they've beaten Cardiff. They're just, you know, okay.
They've beaten Cardiff. They've beaten Belfast in Belfast and at home. They've beaten Sheffield in Sheffield. You know, the only team, I think, who have not been beaten by the Guildford Flames this season are the Nottingham Panthers.
Yes, yeah. And the Flames are gunning to turn that around on Saturday. Greener, like I was kind of alluding to with Jono, like, how deep can they go? People will just say, you know, people will say, oh, perhaps they'll run out of steam. But, you know, can they battle Belfast, Cardiff, Sheffield for this league title? Coventry, obviously, up there at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people say about the depth, and I kind of get that. You know, over the years, they've not, as one of the lower teams, you know, they don't always have the Brit depth. But, you know, adding Lacko and Ben O'Connor over the last couple of years, and I just think, you know, they've got two import goalies. They've got extra imports, I think at least one. So, you know, if they do get a couple of injuries, they're still okay. Their rink is really difficult to win in. You know, it's a smaller, older, kind of, you know, it's a hard place to go and win, quite a hostile atmosphere. So, I mean, I really see no reason. I mean, I think they will be there, you know, Belfast, Sheffield, obviously both doing really well. I think they're going to be right there, you know, unless something happens where they pick up a load of injuries or something out of the normal. I just don't really see why, you know, they've got a couple of key players like Cronella, you know, hopefully it doesn't, but if something happened to him or one of their other top scorers, obviously that could be an issue. But I mean, you can say that about any team. So I expect them to be, you know, top three minimum come the end of the season. And I definitely wouldn't have said that in, you know, July, August.
Mm-hmm. Jono, that 63 goals in 62 games, they're basically scoring at 4 goals a game.
Yeah, they've got some really, really good offensive firepower. And I think we saw that when they came here in the first game of the season.
They probably will feel they should have won.
Yeah, well, me and Dan commentated at the time how quick they were, how deep they seemed in their forward lines, and how talented they seemed in their forward lines as well. You've got like Ryan Tate, 9 goals. Sam Markland, 14 goals. Daniel Tedesco, who was a great pickup, 11 goals. Ian McNulty, who is in his second season there, 10 goals. Peter Crinella, who got goals in the ECHL last season, 8 goals and 12 assists. So there's point scoring all the way through that squad. Brett Ferguson, 6 goals and 15 assists. You know, they've got 2-3 really good forward lines that will do damage to any team, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, what do you think about Friday, Greeno? I mean, you know, we talked about Panthers putting statement performances down, and they did that on Saturday. It didn't go the way against Sunday on Sunday in 5 Flyers, you know. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, what do Panthers need to do? Because it feels like that a corner gets turned and the path's going the right way, then there'll be a bad result going in. What do Panthers need to do to get this season well and truly going, do you think?
I just think it's about that consistency. I think, you know, a lot of guys that have played in this league, you know, you have to remember a lot of guys coming new to this league aren't used to playing back-to-back games, because in Europe and North America, they do it a bit more. But, you know, in this league, it's all about that, like, boom, boom, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. And it's just churning out results. And it's not always about the performance, but I think, you know, when we've had good teams here, it's about putting on a really good performance Saturday, you know, big night, impressive win. And then wherever you have to go Sunday, you just have to dig in and grind out that second result. And it doesn't matter what it looks like or who plays well or what the score is. It's just about going there and grinding the result out. And I think we just have to get into that, excuse me, that mindset of, you know, you can't win a massive game. You know, we can't beat Guildford Saturday and then go and Friday and then go and lose to them Saturday. I mean, yeah, 2 points is a decent return, but I mean, if we're going to start climbing the table, you need to put a run of results together. But I think Saturday's I think Friday's just got to be the same as last week. You know, it's come out fast, start, take it to them. We know they're a dangerous team, but you know, we're going to have to beat teams like this if we're going to eventually climb the table a bit.
And you know, Matthew Myers, Jono, is announcing steadily a few guys coming back from the team, of course, that won all the trophies in the league title winning year, the league and the cup and the playoffs. I remember the big argument on social media about whether it was a grand slam or not because they didn't win the conference and all that malarkey. But my point is that team would equally pump Sheffield Steelers at home as it would to go on the road into Scotland and win a game. And that's the difference between...
Well, that team never lost 2 games in a row all season. And they would often, if they lost a game, they would then go probably on another 7-8 game run before they lost another. And that was the thing that season. It was an incredibly consistent team who won lots of back-to-back-to-back games, and that's eventually what won us the title. And that's generally what wins any team the title, is, as Dan's already said, consistency. And at the moment, sadly, we just haven't got that consistency at the moment. If we can get consistency, we will climb the table, no doubt about it.
Just touching on that team, Greener, because you were part of it, but was that kind of right? If you lost the game, you just thought, we'll just go on another winning run again. The confidence to do that appeared to be there in that team.
Yeah, and I think it was almost self-policed by the guys, where if we lost a game, it like dented the egos and it was like, right, okay, we'll now go and shove it. I remember we lost to Edinburgh at home like 2-1. Yeah. It was the only game we lost to that division all year. And then after that win, it was almost like, okay, that we almost needed that like shot in the arm. And now, you know, yeah, it was, but you know, like Jono said, it was, we would win at home and then we would go into, you know, Coventry, Fife, wherever, and we grind out a result the next night. And it didn't really matter how, it just, we had, the guys knew that with the league on the line, if you lose Sunday, it doesn't really matter what you did Saturday, because it's kind of irrelevant. And, you know, we had teams on our heels the whole time, you know, Sheffield, Belfast, always right behind us. And yeah, I think we just had that belief that, okay, yeah, we lost a game, but with the quality we had from top to bottom, there was no one that could beat us if we were, you know, at our best. And yeah, like Jono said, we would lose and then we would just put a 5-6 game streak where we would just maul everybody. And then I think we only lost about 8 games all year in regulation. So
yeah, I think it was after the big loss at Christmas in Sheffield. I think we played Dundee the next game and won something like 8-0 or 8-1, you know, because we had that shock to the system from that big loss in Sheffield, and then back straight back on the bus again. And I think there was another sort of 7 or 8 game winning streak after that.
Yeah,
that Sheffield game was the Kelsey Wilson game, wasn't it?
It was.
I know there are a load of fights because I remember I was in net for some of it, and there, like Gallivan was fighting, and I think Franny maybe there was like a there was a lot going on in that game. Yeah, it could have well been that game.
I think we're about done, really. You know what? Just before we finish, you know, I looked back at the weekend and thought it could be the weekend to get 4 points. You know, again, going back to you, Jono, just in terms of. 4-point weekends are huge, aren't they? There's twofold, really. If Panthers got the win on the Friday, not only would, if they could do it again and get a 4-point weekend, again, the road form is something that has to drastically improve, isn't it? So again, it would mean so much to get two things out of the way, a 4-point weekend and follow up a home win with 2 points on the road.
Especially against the team that are top of the league as well. I think that it'd be a massive boost if we could manage it, definitely.
Yeah, think of the swing of points. If you claw 4 points on the leaders who don't get any points themselves, Panthers suddenly go from a team that's like mid-table, well, lower half mid-table, to someone, hey, can they start to find ways to close down this gap? Anyway, so back at home, brilliant atmosphere on Saturday. Bring that noise again. 7:30 start. Tickets are going well again. It was a fabulous crowd on Saturday. And let's hope for more of the same. Friday night hockey, we talked about it on the podcast earlier on in the season, how great Friday nights are. I know you love them, Jono. So let's hope another big crowd. Start your weekend. You can go to the pub afterwards, can't you? And have a beer.
We'll see.
And start the weekend in style. So there you go. Thanks for joining us on the pre-game podcast. We'll be back with you on Friday for the post-game podcast.